power of life or death. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you will have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey. Our second reading comes from John 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to drink the water, Jesus had said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become to them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
Well, welcome to your first chapel for the school year. I want to start chapel with a little quiz for those of you who were here last year. Let's see here how well we did. Ready? What book of the Bible did we teach through last year? Avery. Hebrews. Yes, one for one. Now it's going to get even harder. What book of the Bible did we teach through 2 years ago? Sam. Isaiah is correct. All right. Woo, that's really exciting for me. Thank you, guys. Awesome. This year, we're going to be teaching and preaching through Psalms. Okay? And for those of you who know the book of Psalms, you know that it's a collection of songs. So this year in chapel, I'm going to sing everything I say. That's a joke. I'm not going to do it. Another thing you might know about the book of Psalms is that the book of Psalms is huge. It's massive. It has 150 chapters in it. We are not going to get to go through all of those songs this year. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to get through half of those songs this year. But hopefully, you will learn so much about the book of Psalms, and you'll be so blessed by it that you'll want to kind of pick it up on your own maybe and keep reading more and more of these beautiful songs that were written thousands of years ago about God and about how God works with his people and how God works with the world. Okay, our psalm today that we are going to work with to start the book of Psalms is Psalm 1. So let me read it to you guys. And if you would stand as I read Psalm 1. Hear then the word of the Lord. This is Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so is the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Y'all can take a seat. So we're starting off this year with Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 paints a very simple picture of two ways to live your life. Two ways to live your life. And I want to read to you guys, again, with that ear, I want to read you guys the first way the psalmist talks about living your life. So listen for it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the way of sinners, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Way one, person one. Listen to way two. Not so are the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Way two. And in the concluding verse, the psalmist lets us hear both paths. So listen as the psalmist lays out path one and then path two. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I've got to tell you guys a story. When I was young, growing up in Texas, just outside of Dallas, I had a friend. His name was Bryce Burnett. Bryce Burnett had a brother named Brody Burnett. It was Bryce and Brody Burnett. They were brothers. And I was friends with Bryce. He was in my grade, and Bryce was really smart. And Bryce and I thought we were just about the smartest people in the world. We were really clever guys. I know none of you guys ever struggle with that sin of thinking you're really smart and pride, but I struggled with that a lot when I was a kid. And Bryce and I, we were really smart guys. And when we came up into high school, we were actually ranked number one and number two in our high school class. So we really thought we were smart. We were just super sharp guys. And Bryce and I, before we got into high school, when we were in middle school, Bryce and I, we went to church together. And Bryce used to sit in the back of the church, in the far, far back pew in the church. And my dad was the pastor of the church. So he would sit as far back as you could go. That's where he would sit. And because Bryce was my friend, I thought, well, of course I should sit with my friend, right? And so I would take my seat, not by my mom, not by my brothers who sat towards the front of the church, but I would sit all the way in the back with my buddy Bryce. And as you can imagine, two middle school boys who sat all the way in the back of the church, we weren't often paying attention to the sermon or to the songs or what was going on. It would be like letting the kindergartners or first graders go all the way to the back with no teacher supervision back there. That's probably not a good idea. Sorry, first grade and kindergarten. It wouldn't be a good idea. But that's where Bryce and I sat. And I remember one Sunday, Bryce decided to start tearing up the bulletin for the day and making little balls of paper. And then Bryce started throwing those balls of paper at the people who were sitting in front of us. And he would try to get it to land in their hair. And my dad was preaching a sermon at this time. And unknown to Bryce and unknown to me, my father saw what Bryce was doing. And so my father was preaching, and whatever it was he was saying, I don't remember now, but this is what I do remember. My dad was preaching, and all of a sudden he said, "Bryce Burnett, if you throw another piece of paper, you will never walk into this church again. You can choose to stop or leave." And he continued preaching. I've never seen a young man get redder in the face. I was so embarrassed. I was ashamed. I was sitting with this young man who was disturbing the worship of others, who wasn't there to worship himself, and that my father had to stop his sermon to address that foolishness. Let's take a quick poll. How many of you guys think my parents let me sit next to Bryce again in church? How many of you think that my parents said, "From now on, you'll be sitting up with us"? Yeah. I never, ever was allowed to sit with Bryce again. Listen to the words of the psalm. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Does not walk in the way of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. There's a proverb in the scriptures that says this: bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. In the first psalm, the very first psalm, the author wants to say this, folks: you are who you sit with. You are who you spend time with. And that if you want to walk in an upright way, if you want to follow the Lord, then you got to look out who you're sitting next to. If you want to say, you know what, I want to obey God with what I do in my life, you've got to watch out who you're walking around with. Because folks, the time that we spend with people begins to influence us. It begins to influence us. And maybe some of you guys can identify that. Maybe there are some friends or some houses that you go to, and you know that your friends maybe are allowed to watch shows or movies that you're not allowed to watch at home. Or maybe you hear words that you don't hear at home. Maybe they do things that you know your mom and dad wouldn't appreciate. And what's amazing to me is that the first song of praise to God talks about this very thing. Don't hang out with people who are going a different way. Don't hang out with people if when you go there, you're like, ooh, these people, these friends are not going in that way. And that's a real challenge for us. Because sometimes I think being sinful and wicked and mocking, making fun of things, being sarcastic, being chippy, being a little brat, these things are very fun for us, right? You guys know yourselves, right? I'm like, well, that's not what he said. I'm like, okay? If you're hanging around people who are sarcastic and who are rude and who are mean, guys, that's going to shape the way that you talk, okay? And that's the first, interestingly, the first thing the psalmist says is, you are blessed as a young man, as a young lady, if you will not spend time with people who live that way. Isn't that a strange way to start the book of songs to God? It struck me as very odd that the first line in the songs to God is, don't hang out with people who are going a different way. You might think that the praise song to God would be like the songs that we just sang, right? Let me bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. No, that's not how the psalm starts. The psalms start with, don't spend time with people who are going to send you on that path. What if we started our chapel time with a song like that? Bless the Lord, he's not letting me hang out with people who are scoffing and making fun of others. I won't do it because I don't want to hang out with people like that. Because they'll throw pieces of paper at the people in front of them, and that's not the right way to act. But that's the way the psalms start. Isn't that funny? It's not what we'd expect, but what's so interesting is the psalmist puts that at the forefront of a book about praise to God. And you know what? I think that's fitting for chapel. Because one of the things that I noticed when I was a young man, and that I notice as a teacher now, is that oftentimes how you participate or don't participate in chapel is based on what the people next to you are doing. Are they singing? Is the boy sitting next to me singing? Because if he's not singing, he's really cool. I don't want to sing with him. Or is the boy or girl next to me, are they joining in? Are they saying, this is an opportunity to worship God, and I want to make the most of it. It's 45 minutes on a Friday morning that I get to spend worshiping the God who created me. And so the psalm starts with this: you are who you worship with. You are who you worship with. And so while the psalm starts with this, it says, don't be with those people who are heading in this direction. But listen instead what the worshiper of God should sound like. What should we do then? If we shouldn't, Sit with the scoffer, sit with the kid who makes fun of people. What should we do? Listen to what the psalmist says. His delight, the righteous one's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He says the righteous person doesn't look like the one who's scoffing, mocking, babbling. You could also translate just me. Instead, his days are filled up with reflection on the beautiful word of God. How do you spend your free time? How do you spend your leisure time? Do we ever actually take a walk? One of my students, one of the goals for the summer was to walk and think about the word of God. That's a blessed time. Just taking a walk. That's so much better than scoffing. That's so much better than mocking. And here's what the psalmist says. That man, the one who meditates on the word of God, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. I want everybody just to close your eyes and listen and think of this image. That following God is like being a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season. Its leaf does not wither. Imagine being that tree by the water, yielding your fruit. Your leaves don't wither because you're just so fruitful. You're living a life that is abundant to the max. Keep your eyes closed. Here's what the psalmist says about the wicked. The righteous are like a tree that is planted by these luscious rivers, these streams of water. Listen to what the wicked are like. The wicked are like chaff, which is dried up grass that the wind blows away. And open your eyes. What would you rather be? Where would you rather sit? Would you rather be a tree planted by streams of water? We're getting into apple picking season. I'm so excited. Y'all go to Kuiper's Farm for apple picking? Oh, I love going out to Kuiper's Farm. It's so fun. You get to go out there. They make these fresh apple donuts, and I eat like a dozen of them in a day. Oh, it's so good. And the fresh apple cider. Oh, that's what I think of. And I want my life to be like that. I want my life to have roots that dig down deep into the ground and draws that nourishing water. And then I yield fruit all the time. But the wicked are the opposite. They're not even trees. They're like little bits of grass. They get blown around by the wind. Instead of that idea of a lush, cool tree, the idea of the wicked is like going outside today in a desert. The psalmist paints two very different pictures. You could be a tree, always giving fruit, or you could be dead grass blowing around in the wind. And the psalmist comes to his conclusion. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Got to wrap up my story about Bryce Burnett. It's a true story. Sometimes people ask me if my stories are true. It's a true story. My parents, just before my junior year of high school, decided that we were going to move to Chicago. And it was a really big deal. I was class president. I was on the basketball team, and I was on the cross-country team, and I was the track team, and I was ranked number one in my class. And so many of those things were lined up for me, and yet my group of friends were definitely on this path. And my dad got a job and moved up to Chicago from Dallas, and I fought him tooth and nail. I said, "But Dad, my friends are all here. All my friends. Let me stay with my friends." My dad said, "No. You are coming with us." And about a month after we moved up to Chicago, all of my friends got arrested for destroying mailboxes, which is a federal offense, and they spent the night in jail. I was 1 month away, probably, from being in jail with these foolish, foolish kids. But by the grace of God, he called my father and he called our family up. And so I went from jail to then a year later enrolling at Moody Bible Institute. Listen to the conclusion of this psalm again. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So my first challenge to us to start this school year, and I want you guys to wrestle with this question. What do you want your life to look like? Whether you're 3 years old or you're 18 years old, do you want to be like a beautiful tree planted by streams of water that God watches over and God is with you and he is close to you? Or do you want to be like dead grass blown around in the midst of a desert? Because the word of the Lord says that one of those ways leads to life and one of those ways leads to death. And it's a great question to ask yourself. Do I want to live abundantly? Do I want to learn the word of God? Do I want to spend my time thinking about what God wants me to think about? Or am I going to fill my time with useless things, scoffing, mocking, wickedness, which ends in death? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I pray that you would help us all. Lord God, help us by your Spirit to be the kinds of men and women, the young boys and girls, who want to seek after you. Lord, help us to delight in your word. Lord, teach us what it means to follow you. We want to be trees of life. And the only way to do that is to be connected to you, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord God, I pray that this year in chapel and in school, you would move us closer to you. You would draw us to yourself that we might have life abundantly. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, and we close by singing the doxology. Some of you know it. If you don't know it, that's okay. You will learn it, I guarantee. Here we go. Ready? It starts with, praise God from whom all blessings come. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,